We are a little over 4 hours away from the beginning of the third round between the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. NBA Finals Game 1 begins tonight. They'll tip it at 9 o'clock. You can hear it here on AM 930 WEOL. I'll be out at the Brew Kettle in Amherst for Countdown at the Brew. Stop on by, say hello, and enjoy a phenomenal atmosphere to watch Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. Breaking down the Cavs and the Warriors, and we're doing that right now with Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. He joins us now on the hotline. Rick, as always, we appreciate the time, and as we take a look at some potential matchups and maybe a bunch of different angles going into this thing tonight, I guess I want to start with this with you. If you were to pick out an unsung hero who has to emerge for the Cavs to be successful, who would it be?
Interesting question. I can give you a couple. J.R. Smith has been really, really quiet offensively. Kyle Korver, if he gets hot, could win a game for him on three-pointers. I think Iman Shumpert's going to play a ton in this series, and if he can do a solid job at both ends of the floor, I think that helps him. But I think the most important player in this series is Kevin Love.
Interesting. And I think if you're to take a look at the guys you just mentioned, I know when we've had you on the show before, you had mentioned that Shump, at least during the regular season, didn't do a whole lot to impress you. And it seemed like he turned a corner a little bit when he didn't play a lot over the first few games in that series against the Indiana Pacers. He did look a little bit better in that Boston series. Has he done enough, though, over the course of the playoffs to change your mind as far as how he could impact this series?
Well, I mean, he's been much, much better. I think he got Ty Lue's message loud and clear when he didn't play in the first game and a half of the postseason, and had JR not missed the second half of Game 2 against Indiana, who knows? He still may not be playing. But he came out with an extremely big purpose in that game, and showed some grit, some heart that, quite frankly, weren't there late in the regular season. He shot the ball well from the perimeter in the postseason. And I think he's one of those guys that's going to get looks because if Golden State is going to give up a shot, they're going to give it up to somebody like him. And if he can knock it down, I think he becomes exponentially more valuable. Now, has he earned it or has he shown it? He's been okay. Their whole bench as a unit has been okay at best. They have had some extremely low scoring numbers, but they're a three-point shooting bunch that can score, in a hurry in some games, and they're going to need to do that a few times in this series for Cleveland to win.
Rick, obviously this game's being sort of viewed as a rubber match of NBA Finals since these two teams are on their third trip to the NBA Finals. But one of the big differences is Kevin Durant's on the Golden State Warriors now. How does that change the way the Cavs approach this? Does it change anything about the way the Cavs approach this series?
Oh, I think it alters, a lot of things. Just to go back to your original point about this being a rubber match real quick, it is this year. But these teams could meet again next year and the year after. So we could be here, having the same conversation in 2019. But as for Durant, so many different things. I think if you guys recall, LeBron had a myriad different roles defensively last year. Sometimes he functioned as a center fielder of sorts in big moments. Sometimes he guarded Steph. Sometimes he guarded Clay, occasionally guarded Draymond. I think it lessens the Cavs' ability to make significant changes defensively in key moments because I think LeBron is going to guard KD for the majority of this series. But in terms of Golden State, I think the biggest thing it does is Steph hasn't been real great in the last two finals. He's had a couple great games, but he's been, for his standard, fairly mediocre. But he and KD now have one another. So there's not that pressure on the one guy to go out there and score 30 every night, but both are capable. And they can play off one another. It's hard to focus your defense to shut down, one guy. It's virtually impossible to do it with two of that kind of talent. So I think that's the biggest thing he brings to the Warriors, is a proven big-time scorer who can get his shot at any time, virtually any time, and put the ball on the floor. So I think that's gonna make things even tougher for the Cavs. That being said, I think they're fully capable of winning this series. But they're going to have their work cut out. I mean, this Golden State team is really, really good, as we all know. When it's all said and done, it should just make for a fantastic series.
We're talking with Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette about the NBA Finals, which gets started tonight. Game 1 tips at 9 o'clock. You can hear it here on AM 930 WEOL. I want to go back to the very first answer you gave us just a couple of minutes ago. You said that in your mind, the biggest player in this particular series for the Cavs could be Kevin Love. Why is it that Love could be the biggest catalyst in your mind?
Because I think they need him to score. And last year he didn't have to do a lot of that in order for them to win. I think he has to be a much more impactful player at the offensive end than he was against Golden State last year. If you guys recall, there were times when it was really tough for Ty Lue even to keep him on the floor. I think it was game 2 he got the concussion, sat out game 3, and they won that one, and then he didn't start game 4. When he was able to play, they stayed with Richard Jefferson. So, he's going to have some matchup issues defensively. I think at the beginning of the game tonight, what you'll see is Love will guard Zaza, so he can stay closer to the basket and defensive rebound, and Tristan, I think, will match up with Draymond Green. Now, that's fine when Zaza's on the floor, but he's only going to play the first 4 or 5 minutes of the first and third period, and then they're going to either go small or bring McGee in, and then that's going to make it a little tougher. But I think, Kevin Love is going to probably be defended by Draymond the majority of the time, and you're talking about the likely winner of Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to have to be able to generate some kind of offense in the low post for the Cavs, even if it's just drawing fouls and getting to the foul line. He's going to have to knock down open three-pointers. But to be able to do that, he's going to have to be able to, when Golden State goes really small and plays Draymond at center, he's going to have to be able to defend Draymond away from the basket and limit his drives. And that's going to be a big, big challenge. So if he can do those things, I think that's a big bonus for the Cavs.
Rick, these two teams met twice in the regular season. Cavs taking one, Golden State taking one. One of those games was a little closer than the other. But do you take anything from those previous two meetings this year, or do we just start from scratch?
Not a thing. Throw them out. They mean nothing. But these are the two best teams. We've known that all year. Like I said, we could see them in 18. We could see them in 19. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It goes again in 20. My outlook on this is just enjoy it. Be prepared for a long ride. I unlike some of the people nationwide and particularly the people out west, I don't see this as being a 4 or 5 game series. I think there's going to be a lot of ebb and flow. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs, and both teams had better be ready for it. The one thing I will say is I think it's really important that the Cavs get one of these first two, because I think, and Golden State is every bit as good of a road team as Cleveland is, and I think to have to come back here and win 3 and 4, that's going to be a lot to ask of the Cavs. I think, if Golden State wins the first two, they come back here and steal one, then this thing could be over in five. But I think we're going to see, you know, two or three road victories in this series, and I think ultimately it's probably going to go six or seven.
Well, that would be very, very interesting if the road team wins that many times. But in a series like this, where these two teams are so evenly matched, you just never know what you're going to see. Rick, we'll cut you loose on this one. Taking Kevin Durant out of the equation, because I think he's certainly the obvious answer to this question. What, if anything, is different about this situation from last year? Obviously, Kevin Durant's the big wild card, and I think he would be the default answer for most. But is there anything outside of Kevin Durant that makes this situation any different than it was a year ago?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious answer is one that we've kind of forgotten about because the curse ended. But, you know, the Cavs no longer have the weight of all of Cleveland professional sports on their shoulders. They don't have a 52 or what would be 53-year drought hanging over them right now. They showed that they could win. And they showed they could win under the most trying of circumstances, being down 3-1. I think they're a little bit more at ease with the situation, but yet at the same time, they still have the hunger because nationwide they're almost being treated as an underdog, not just an underdog, but a big, big underdog, a bigger underdog than they were last year, as hard as that is to believe. So I think, you know, the security and the inner confidence that comes with being a champion, but still having the same hunger almost as if they are still the challenger in this series. I think intangibles like that can go a long way toward helping them.
I know the answer to this question, but those that don't follow you on Twitter probably don't. And if you don't follow Rick on Twitter, you should. Rick is very entertaining, both when the Cavs are on TV and even when they're not on. Rick's a very entertaining follow on Twitter. But for those who didn't hear it yet, your prediction for this series?
Well, let's preface it by saying I correctly had Golden State in 6 and 15 and correctly had the Cavs in 7 and 16. And let's also point out that my prediction history – over 34 years has been just horrendous. So I'm hanging my hat on the last two finals, but people around here aren't going to like my pick, so I'm watering it down with the fact that I've been wrong way more often than I've been right. And all that being said, I got it going 7 again, and this time I have Golden State winning at home.
All righty, so there's your prediction. Rick Nolan says the Warriors in 7. Rick, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will certainly have you on next week to give us a pretty good look at these games coming up as the series returns to Cleveland in the middle of next week. Rick, thank you as always for your time.
Thank you, anytime.
All righty, that is Rick Nolan with the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.